Adrian Moore himself has now got prostate cancer
new
book. So, now in an interview I read that you said you wanted him to face death. He's not always the most sympathetic of characters, but death, really? Why do you feel that this is the right time for Adrian to meet with mortality?
It's an extremely weird... You know, I've always thought this since a child, since I found out that we actually die. I think I was about 7. Most children realise that they're going to die and everything dies when they're about 7, which is why they call it the age of reason, I think. And it's such a shock to kids. And then nothing's ever made of it. Nobody ever counsels you or says, you know, you're going to die. And, you know, everything dies. They, you know, nobody talks about it. And... you know, it really puzzled me why people didn't then run screaming in the streets, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. I've always thought that, you know, I think about it on a daily basis, and quite a lot of people do. I thought a mole naturally does, because he's, you know, he's a worrier. Mm-hmm. And I just thought I would give him something to worry about. I wanted to know how he would react to serious illness and getting older, because, you know, I think I'm 61, and my friends are developing, you know, the usual things that, you know, older people get, and it's a complete shock to them and to me as well, because we were the first teenagers as well. You know, we were almost told, no, we'll never die. We're going to, you know, forge a new generation. Everything's going to change, you know, thanks to Bob Dylan and the Rolling Stones and not the Beatles so much. And, you know, we're going to live for the Who, we're going to live forever. I was just curious to know how people react to their own mortality, and especially mole. And so I gave him an illness. I wanted to write about something serious because I think, you know, comedy has to be based on something very serious. Mm. I mean, the first book was about divorce and the effect it has on children, or on mole, just a single child at that time. Because, you know, I think we all underestimate the importance of the effect it has on children. I mean, it lasts throughout their lives. They have a sense of grievance almost.
It's reading the book, it seemed to me that there is, I mean, as well as Adrian's cancer, there's a lot of disability in there. I mean, and I loved that, of course, because, you know, you don't often read books that reflect your life and the reality of life. Was that a conscious thing for you?
Well, I suppose it's because this is increasingly my world, you know, because I'm registered blind and I'm in a wheelchair, I naturally... sort of every day is a different, every single day I meet different people with similar disabilities, I suppose. And it's just a fact of life. It's just that you don't see that many people. And all the people that are suffering from cancer, it's not visible. You know, they walk around with an invisible illness that could kill them, you know, eventually or even, you know, quite soon after they're diagnosed. So, you know, there are a lot of people walking around who don't get any sympathy. Yeah. Like, you know, I get kind of sympathy from people most days.
Do you want that sympathy, though?
No, I don't want the sympathy, no. I just want the common courtesy that's...
How does that come out, then?
It's a kind of patronising tone. You know, and quite often, you know, drunks,
oh,
drunks
yes.
shout, "God bless you," you know, from the other side of the street.
This is one of the things we talk about regularly on here.
Is it? Yeah. God bless you, my dear.
You seem relatively benign about it when you talk about disability, but then you've got this character, Nigel, who's been in all of the Adrian Mole books.
His best friend.
Adrian's best friend. And in your last book, Adrian Mole and the Weapons of Mass Destruction, he was going blind, as I recall. And in the Prostrate Years, the new book, he's completely blind. line. Yeah, now, he's not very nice at all. He's rather an irascible, sort of obstreperous character, extremely rude. And I wonder, is he a bit of a proxy vehicle for you? Do all the things that you really wish you could say in real life, did you make sure that your venom vicariously used goes through Nigel?
At last, somebody, an interviewer who understands the book. He's, yes, he stands for all the kind of bitter, twisted angst.
The things you want to say, but you're too nice to say.
Yeah. Yes, he does. He stands in for me quite well.
And but he's fantastic because I love it when he then decides to marry a blind partner, a blind guy. Mm. And Adrian's discussion about what a blind person going out with a blind person, you've made a rod for your own back. And it's that kind of honesty in saying the things that we all want to say and think. That's what I. That's what, you know, you're not just writing about disability. You're writing about it in such a obviously you know what it's like. And it's very clear, I think, you know.
It's because I do, you know, I'm not one of these battlers, you know, battlers for, no, let me do it. I'm actually quite happy for other people to do things for me because it's so much quicker.
Good.
You know, I mean, I agree, I am a very independent person and I, you know, I maintain that independence. But, you know, certain things, I mean, it's just much easier for other people if other people can help you every now and again.
I completely agree. I think being blind or visually impaired in many aspects of your life, you're getting a business class upgrade, I think, and it's quite enjoyable.
Right. Yeah. Right. Oh, my God. And going to London on the train, you know, with the in a wheelchair with the ramps and everything, it's like being royalty.
Minor royalty, isn't
well,
it?
Very, very minor. But you often do travel first class, and you know, and they're incredibly good to you.
And you do get a free cup of tea as it's worth it.
You get
it?
A free cup of tea, and then you know, when I go to London with my husband, you know, then we get into a taxi, and then you know we go to a shop, say, and I'm being pushed around Selfridges like a queen. It's fantastic. You know, he's flagging a bit, but I'm fine.